join the crew from TPENetwork.com as we duke it out on Superhero Battleground, a superhero news podcast with a game show twist. Contestants are awarded arbitrary points after they formulate an argument for or against a particular news story. After each episode airs, TPE Network community members will cast their votes and determine the winner by heading to TPENetwork.com/feedback. The results will be revealed on the following episode. You can subscribe to Superhero Battleground right now by heading to TPENetwork.com/subscribe.
Tiger Prince Entertainment.
There ain't nothing else like it.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to TPE Network Movie Reviews Podcast. I'm Hank.
And I'm John.
And we're your hosts, and this time we're going to be covering Deadpool 2. So if you haven't seen Deadpool 2, you're going to want to back out now because we're spoiling the whole movie. Now, this is for people who've already seen it, obviously. And we're just going to break it down like we normally do, talking about the setting, characters, wins, problems, and dole out our ratings. And then we got a piece of feedback. So let's jump into the setting, John. And from my perspective, with every, well, there's only been two, but with each Deadpool movie, the movie seems small, and it's supposed to, I believe. But did you feel like you're in the X-Men universe with Deadpool, or what was your take?
No, I agree. It's very, I mean, you gotta think about how many like direct scenes were probably in this movie. I mean, you have the mansion, you have his apartment, you have that that carrier transport, the prison, and that whatever that hospital was. So, I mean, everything else is kind of just maybe 30 seconds in between, but you really only had five locations in this entire movie where you just kind of kept going back to. So the size, yeah, it makes it feel that it's like they keep wanting to hint that it's in the universe, but at the same time, it's really not in the universe. Although that entire ploy, whenever he was at the mansion, he was just like, you think there should be some people walking around, and you had like Beast right in the other room. Everyone's in the other room and he shut the door. Oh, man, I lost it. I was like, that is terrific.
That was genius. And believe it or not, there were quite a few moviegoers that missed that for whatever reason. Maybe they were looking down or looking away, or in my theater, I noticed some people didn't know who those people were. And I was like, wow, really? Why are you here?
My thing with it was I kept on like, was that Kelsey Grammer or was that the other Beast? So like, but unfortunately it was that quick that I couldn't catch that because I was really excited about, I was trying to see who else was in the room besides Beast being right there at the front. So unfortunately I missed that. And I kept on, my friend who I was with, I kept on asking him, I'm like, do you really think I was Kelsey Grammer? And at the end of that, he's like, he told me no, because he went and saw it again, like quite literally the next day. And the guy who's playing Beast currently in the new X-Men line.
Oh, okay. Not a bad little Easter egg, so to speak.
Oh, no. I mean, it's like everything that you could ask for, because that's the thing. He sits there and complains about how, oh, man, we're in this shared universe. Where is everybody? But in this case, everyone just was just hiding from him.
Nicholas Holt. He's uncredited for the movie. So they didn't let him speak. So I guess you don't get a credit for that. I think everywhere they go, like their apartment and Blind Al, her place, which used to be his place too, you know, it's always like these smaller sets and stuff, which is fine for a movie like this because you don't need an expansive universe. When I say feel small, I just feel like you're not connected to the rest of the world or universe or whatnot.
Yeah, but I don't think they're really trying that hard to do that. No. I mean, if anything, I think that if it happens, they'll just let it happen. But besides that, it's more of just a running gag that this is in that world, but not really in that world. And the fact that since Ryan Reynolds' Deadpool knows the fact that it's just kind of a play and it's not really in the world. So that actually works even more towards breaking the fourth wall.
Let's talk about some of the main characters and maybe a few of the other characters that just leave a good mark that are fun. Ryan Reynolds as Wade Wilson / Deadpool, of course. Did you know he also did the voice of Juggernaut?
Yeah, I found that out from, and yet again, my friend coming back and telling me afterwards. He's like, yeah, you know, that was all animated Ryan Reynolds, right? And I'm like, no, thanks for filling that in. I wonder if he sat through all the way the credits and was looking for it.
I thought he was very fun, and he plays that role perfectly. It's him, basically, in a suit, playing himself. So I think he does a great job. You agree?
Yes. Yes, I do. I mean, you couldn't ask for a better Deadpool.
And Josh Brolin as Cable, I was very surprised how much I liked his Cable, because I went into the movie kind of being a curmudgeon, thinking, okay, Thanos is going to try to play Cable. And I didn't get any sense of Thanos. I didn't get any sense of some of the other characters Josh Brolin has played. I got a time-traveling person that is annoyed with Deadpool. That's what I came away with, and that's what he's supposed to do.
Well, let me tell you, I've been a huge Cable fan ever since like his New Mutants debut, like back in the day, like to the point that whenever I went and played laser tag, when laser tag was like a huge thing, like the place where I played, they had like black lights and everything. And one of the guys was there, was clever and figured out if you just draw on yourself with a highlighter, it shows up and freaks everybody out in the black light. So I always did the star that's like around his eye, like how his eye kind of like has that the lines that come out of it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how much I like this character. I've always had a fan for it. So I was very skeptic about how they were going to play this character and how they were going to make him, you know, fit the role. Because when he was first cast for it, I didn't think he was big enough. I mean, physically big enough. I wasn't very convinced at all that he was going to be able to play the part. And I left that movie totally convinced that he was Cable. I mean, the only thing that they changed was a little bit of his backstory, but honestly, he has such a convoluted backstory, and it's so hard to try and track down changing it to make it make more sense or make sense just for the movie. I am completely fine with, because he still does what he does. You know, yeah. He's still like a crazy time travel, like military person with a techno-organic virus, you know, basically going through his body, and he has psychokinetic abilities, although they didn't really play that off. I feel that whenever he was retracting his gun, that was those psychokinetic abilities kicking in, but it kind of felt more like, you know, he had a magnet stuck to his back and it just kind of tracked towards it. But I'm not sure which way they're playing that. But I mean, if you all don't know, like, you know, Cable is the son of Scott Summers and Madeline Pryor, who was a clone of Jean Grey, and an alternate future where basically he is born, but then he's quote unquote kind of like the Messiah to try and take down Apocalypse. They shunt him into another timeline where he's raised by these other like warrior race or the tribe or something like that, and basically ends up, you know, being the ultimate thorn in Apocalypse's side, and that's the reason why he is the way that he is. And he's traveling back through time, kind of doing the same thing that Bishop was doing, you know, trying to stop things. Although Bishop was looking for a specific person, where Cable was trying to, I guess, just rewrite history to make things not be so, you know, crappy in the future. But again, everything I just told you is very hard to put into a movie. Him just saying that he was avenging his wife and daughter, which is, you know, is perfectly fine with me.
Let's talk about Fire Fist. Personally, his look and accent just didn't seem to fit for me for some reason.
It was too over the top.
Okay. So I'm not alone then.
I don't know. I mean, was it the actor trying to play this character a little too much, or is this how this character was supposed to be? Because honestly, like, you know, I agree with a lot of the characters in the movie about how he just needs to shut up because he was just that annoying.
Yes. And I didn't know if that was going to come across as too, you know, nitpicky or mean-spirited on my part. I'm not talking about the actor himself. I'm just saying the character that was put on the screen.
Well, no, I mean, if you're hanging out and you're like, you know what, I actually want something bad to happen to him because I'm tired of listening to him.
I wrote him off. I think about the second act, I wrote him off. I was done with him. So, all right, we agree on that.
Hey, but the prison wallet, that was great.
That was humorous. I will give him that. Does everybody know that TJ Miller will not be coming back for any more Deadpool movies?
Oh, no, he won't. I know. I didn't hear that.
No, he has allegedly he has been caught up in the Hollywood scandal that's been going on, the Hollywood scandals that have been going on. And according to Ryan Reynolds, if it was up to him, he would have had him erased from the movie. So they have a scene in the movie where there's a poster in the backdrop, and it's the actor they used to replace Kevin Spacey with in the movie he was in after he got caught up in the scandal and they erased him from the movie.
Uh-huh.
And so it's supposed to be a shot at TJ Miller saying, like, if we could erase you from the movie, we'd use that guy to erase you too from the movie. So he will not be returning for any more sequels, apparently. That's what I heard.
Oh, well, too bad. I thought he did a pretty good job, but if he's caught up in the scandal, then oh well.
But strictly talking about his on-screen, he was really funny. You know, he's a comedian. He better be, right? And he had a lot of the best parts when it came to him almost being interrogated because he's just handing over all the information out of pure fear. And
he plays but he was like, he's like, oh, you don't even have to torture me. I'm a complete like wuss to fear. Like, I'll just let you know. Do you want to know my social security number?
And then Dopinder, is he like the unsung MVP or what? He's funny.
Yeah.
And, you know, they use a lot of the movie to poke fun at him, but he is legitimately funny. I thought he did a great job. And then I have the Bring Back Black Tom t-shirt on the
wall. Oh, listen, when that happened, when they knocked him off, we were like, well, guess I can't use that character in any kind of future X-Men movie. I'm like, and I was just smiling. I'm like, yeah, that would just be, you know, the people running this movie to completely mess over everybody down the line for all the Marvel movies by just killing off characters.
Any of the other characters that you wanted to touch on before we move on?
Yeah, I mean, I like Negasonic. I mean, bringing her back, she had a little more character with her and showing her girlfriend with her. And that entire, like, every single time that you'd see like him and Deadpool and her and, you know, they'd always be like, hey.
Hi, Yukio.
That was great.
That was pretty funny.
Yeah, and especially like all the like everyone was like being so serious and then you just be like, hi, off to the side. But let's talk about the unsung hero of this entire movie, Domino.
Oh, OK. I really did like her character in this movie. I didn't know what to expect going in. And I thought she really did a great job of meshing with Ryan Reynolds.
Yes, I 100% agree. She's another person who I was kind of. I mean, when they cast her, I didn't care about who the person that they cast. I mean, a lot of people were like, oh, but you know, Domino is like super white, not even like kidding, like a white person, like her skin is just like bleached white with a black dot over her eye, making her Domino. And I'm thinking like, well, reversing that's no big deal. I'm like, it's really, it all depends on like her attitude and if she can pull off the character. And I liked her portrayal of this character and how she did it. I mean, the Domino that I'm used to is a lot more. It's like basically Cable. Basically, you have a very serious woman that wants to get this job done. And having her being semi-serious with a little bit of humor in there, that kind of loosened the character up some. I mean, it's a lot better than having two Cables running around a movie.
Yeah.
But all the stuff that she did in that movie, that was they did a very good job.
All right. Let's talk about some wins for the movie. I thought the entire second half of the movie was hilarious. They really were firing on all cylinders as the movie progressed all the way through the end. Other wins for me, I even thought that the after credits stuff was really well done. I wasn't even expecting some of that, and then they gave more than I was even expecting, and I thought that made you feel, even though it was kind of cheesy, I thought it made most people feel really good about the future of Deadpool movies. He goes and retcons stuff and changes things. So I was a fan of that personally. And the banter between some of these characters was just outstanding. Even though there were a lot of new people in this movie, I really felt like they got the sense of what Deadpool is supposed to be.
Well, yeah, I mean, even with, you know, our completely CGI character that is Colossus, you know, even the banter back and forth of that, like whenever he was like in the X mansion, he stole like Professor X's chair and he's just driving around. But like, you know, with all the stuff that, you know, he did with the Colossus, even at the end of the movie where he held up his phone with the speaker up there. Colossus just kept on like rolling over and putting his hand on his head. I mean, he did a very good job. See, in the first Deadpool, I was like, I don't know if picking Colossus, you know, putting him in there is going to be the best bet for this. But bringing him back for this movie, I had my reserve and I'm fine. I don't have any more reserve with it. They did a very good job of making it silly.
Any other wins for you?
So if you broke the movie up into like quarters, like somewhere around the middle or into the third quarter, it's like it had this like lull in it that's kind of took away from it. But then the last quarter of the movie just basically it made up for all of that. Because a lot of the time, like he was in the jail. So, I mean, I guess in the end, what I'm getting at is this movie had a lot of wins, but I believe that a lot of the wins that it had was being carried over because of the previous Deadpool movie. Oh. So we watched the first Deadpool movie and everything, your eyes are popping out of your head because you just can't believe that they did this stuff. But you go into this movie and it's like, you know, it's almost like watching, you know, Jackass on MTV back in the day where, you know, the next week you're like, okay, well, this a lot of this stuff isn't surprising me anymore because you guys have basically done all this stuff already or stuff very similar to it. So, you know, trying to get outside the box and come across things that weren't expected. Big example. And you got to know that this is a real, real thing. All the trailers that we watched, it had all the people from X-Force fighting on the ground, but then he's gotten to the movie and they killed all of them off before they even had a chance to do anything. And I was talking to my buddy that I went with, and he's like, you know what? It's like, man, they kind of cheated us with that. I'm like, no, I don't think they cheated us. I'm pretty sure they did that on purpose to make you think that there's going to be an X-Force and just really kill them off. I mean, it's different than what they did with Hulk and the Avengers trailer, where that was just like footage that they didn't actually use. I feel that was more of an afterthought. And afterwards, they were like, maybe we should have done that. But I'm pretty sure that they did this on purpose.
I wonder if anything is going to come of this, if it begins to be a huge trend. Because you know how sensitive some individuals are when it comes to not getting what they want. I wonder if this is ever going to get to a point where they're like, look, if you put a trailer out, it has to be blank percentage legitimate or something, or you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but your problem with that is then you have the other half of the world that's saying, I don't care, give me something. And that's like the Venom trailer that you got, which had no Venom in it at all, but Tom Hardy kind of freaking out. And you're like, I don't understand. What did I just watch here? This is a Venom trailer? And then they redid all of that with Venom in it, the animated Venom in it. And then you're like, oh, okay. I still don't understand really what I saw, what I'm seeing. But okay, now a lot of those other scenes made more sense because things were going on. But in this case, yeah, I know that they had to do that on purpose. They did that to mess with everybody because that's all this movie is.
Yeah,
it's like how much can we pull the wool over your eyes and thinking we're doing one thing and then do something else? But that Brad Pitt, they're lighting up as the Invisible Man.
Astonishing.
Apparently with that was just a thing where they were like, well, who could play that? That was actually a joke character. And they're like, well, who could play this part? And they're like, who's the one person you think that we can't get? And they're like, let's reach out to Brad Pitt. He called Brad Pitt and he was like, my kids love the first Deadpool movie. Yes, I'll be in the movie, but there's only one condition. And he said that Ryan Reynolds had to be his coffee getter on the last movie that he was in. So, you know, you have like a person like their a stage boy, like coming like, here's your coffee, sir. Yeah. So Ryan Reynolds had to come and bring that to him.
That is excellent. I like it.
But he didn't get paid for any of that. He wanted to do that, and then he wanted something silly in return. So
that's fun. Let's talk about some problems. And I had even more of a problem this time with the way Colossus looks and the way Juggernaut looked. I really did not like the CG of them, the both of the characters.
Okay, well, but let me ask you this. If you're going to have a choice between this Juggernaut and the Juggernaut in The Last Stand, which one would you pick?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I'll take this one. You know, the real human version of him was pretty bad.
It was CGI, and I get that. But, I mean, this is kind of the size that, you know, the Juggernaut is. I mean, everything, you know, I didn't have a problem with the Juggernaut. Colossus, you know, I can see what you're saying with that. But, I mean, I don't really know what you could really, there isn't anyone that you could pick to be the Juggernaut. Even if you got the Mountain from Game of Thrones, like the guy who just currently played the Mountain, who is huge, he's still physically smaller than that of the Juggernaut. So I don't even think this is something that you could even like fake or, you know, to get someone to play. This is something that would have been CGI'd. So I can't complain too much. At least we got that they made up for the last Juggernaut.
Another problem I had was I thought that the first half of the movie just felt sluggish and not funny. I was not into it at all. I was really disappointed. It was trending in the 5 to 6 range until he got his legs ripped off. And from that point on, I couldn't breathe. I was laughing so hard. Like the people next to me were laughing because I was laughing so hard. There was a couple next to me and they thought it was the funniest thing because I had tears coming down my face with the baby legs and all that stuff and him crossing his legs and doing the Sharon Stone and all that stuff, man. Oh my gosh. The movie went off the rails funny after that.
I agree. Beginning of it was all right. All the stuff at the X-Mansion I enjoyed. But then when he got to prison, I was really more or less, I'm like, okay, well, he's dying. Okay, so, you know, let's just play this out for as long as we possibly can. And that's where, you know, we had, you know, fire hands, whatever you want to call them, like, you know, being like, you know, I'm the prison thug. And yeah, I could have really done with that. So that's kind of like my middle lull. But then, like, when he got out, there was another lull there. I'm trying to remember exactly what it was. But no, but you're right. Whenever he basically got cut in half and he's growing that back, from then on, it was just ridiculous silly.
And then another problem I had, which we talked about earlier, was Fire Fist trying to redeem that character. I was at a certain point, I was just like, I kind of don't care about that character's arc anymore.
So you just wanted Cable to actually like do his job and kill him off. And then you're like, OK,
I know that sounds awful, but I was just like, OK, we can get rid of him at this point. I thought at some point Deadpool was going to be like, OK, I tried, and then take him out or something. Just because he's not supposed to, I thought he would do something like that. But he went all the way wire to wire for this character, and I just didn't understand why.
Yeah, I mean, I feel that there was a bunch of other things that they probably could have done with this movie besides chasing this one kid. But that's fine. If you want to try and give Deadpool a soul and say that, he does do things for, you know, the better part of children or something like that. You know, I guess it's OK. That's not really Deadpool.
Right.
But whatever.
And then getting rid of the X-Force, that made the movie, and it also bothered me at the same time, because I was looking forward to them assembling this team, and I was like, this is going to be great and stuff. And then when they started just offing them all at once because the wind was too extreme and everything went wrong, I was like, on one hand, it is all hilarious, and then on the other hand, why? That's the only thing.
They did that because they were messing with everybody, because as far as everyone was concerned, you were going to be about to get an X-Force fight and a throwdown with everyone. I mean, because you got to see pictures of Shatterstar, like with the swords out, fighting people, Terry Crews' character, all of that.
Yeah, that was about it with my problems. Everything else I thought worked out well, and even the after credits I thought worked out pretty well. And they had gotten rid of one of the after credits that was supposed to be baby Hitler. And then Deadpool goes back and kills him as a baby. So,
I don't know why they didn't leave that in there. I mean, it's a Deadpool movie. It would have been funny.
You're like, it's satire. We'll take it. Maybe they felt like it was just too over the top or something. I don't know.
Well, I mean, it is a rated R movie. So, I mean, I really didn't feel that there's a limit to what you can't do in a rated R movie. Isn't that kind of the point of a rated R movie?
That is kind of the point. Well, shall we dole out our ratings for the movie?
Sure.
All right. I personally liked the movie. I didn't love the movie. If you just gave me the second half of the movie and told me to rate it, I would give it a 9 easily. But if I have to include the first part of the movie and the first half, or like you said, the first and second quarter of the movie, then it would drop my score down to an 8 out of 10.
You know, I was going to say a 7.5, because like, I wish I could remember what I graded the first movie. And I don't know if I gave that one a 10, just because of everything that they broke with this one, then I would have give this movie an 8. because this movie was good and it was a sequel. But like I said before, there's a lot of things that they already capitalized on in the first movie, and trying to bring that back around in the second movie to make it funny again, it's kind of hard, especially, you know, say you went to one of the double features and saw Deadpool and Deadpool 2 back to back. Then everything they do in Deadpool 2, unless you're still rolling, laughing from the first movie, you basically be like, well, I saw that and I've already seen that. And so, I mean, they're trying to give you more shock value. But if you throw it all out there in the first movie, just because you can, it's kind of hard to make it back in a second movie.
Yeah. And that was one thing I was going to ask you in the problem section, but I forgot. You know, I'll ask you right now, is how many of these do you think they can do before we feel like the jokes fall flat? Is this something they could keep doing and doing and doing, or do you think there's a limit?
Well, I mean, I think that they could probably do like maybe like a couple more, but really, I think that they need to mix in to the X-Force line, because really, you know, having more people with Deadpool all the time, you know, that's where you get a lot more of the comedy, because it's like, for example, you know, he's around Domino and Cable. So Cable is basically just telling him to shut up all the time because he's annoying to him because Cable's so serious. And Deadpool's constantly hitting on Domino just because, you know, boobies. That's basically what he says all the time. So that's where you get a lot of the comedy, because he just doesn't stop with that stuff. And and that gets over the top. But I don't know if he tried to do another like movie where it's pretty much solo, or at least starts off solo like that, I don't know how well it'll do. But I mean, I'm looking at the numbers right now. I mean, it's trending pretty well. I mean, it's good. Saying that it's got $523 million at the box office.
Nice.
And if we compare that to the last movie, which is at $783.1 million at the box office. And so, I mean, it's doing all right, although it went up against Solo, but apparently Solo didn't do very well. No. So I don't think you're losing a lot of money from that.
No, I would love to see if the Disney purchase of Fox and their movie studios goes through, then I think that would be fantastic to have just Deadpool. If he just popped up, the Hulk just rips him to pieces and he makes like a big joke out of it and stuff, you know, just simple stuff like that. If they did stuff like that, he could pop in different movies and just be hilarious, and then just let it slide after that. But I don't know how many of these kind of movies you can keep doing and rehashing the growing of the legs or the growing of the hand or whatever. You know, how many times is that funny? I don't know.
Well, I mean, that entire, you know, bottom half, that was pretty funny. Yeah.
It was great. But I don't know if you could do it again and get that same can't breathe. The guy two rows ahead of me is choking on his popcorn. I don't know if you can get that again.
Well, I was more or less thinking like, okay, so do we have two Deadpools now? I mean, like, if you cut them in half like that, does the bottom half grow a top half?
Oh, that'd be great. Isn't it if you sever his head and keep it away from his body, doesn't he stay dead until the head gets back to the body?
Yes.
Okay. So maybe that's how they can stop these sequels. Let's talk about a piece of feedback we got from Mel. Mel, take it away.
Hey, this is Mel from Anaheim. Wanted to give my feedback on Deadpool Part 2. I realize I might be biased because I read every issue of X-Force Volume 1. And so from the start, I could already tell you a lot about Deadpool, how he first showed up as a bad guy, everything about Cable, how he doesn't have a robotic arm. It's actually a disease that turns his whole body into metal. And he's just actually trying to keep the rest at bay. That's why he appears half metal and half human. I could tell you how his girlfriend in the movie is actually, in the comics, is actually Vanessa. And when Domino first showed up in the comics, it actually was Vanessa shapeshifted as Domino. But enough about that. Really loved the movie. Give it a 10 out of 10. Loved everything. Even the music video, aha, take on me moment. It was a little on the nose. Still loved it. There was a lot of speculation I've been seeing online, like, will we see the dead X-Force members again? Did he use a time travel device to save them as well? I mean, who knows? I'm pretty sure they won't show Shatterstar again, though. Other than that, people are wondering, why did Cable not disappear? You know, Cable's always been a time traveler in the comics and everywhere else. He's independent of time change, so a Cable would still be around. Love the movie. Hope you guys did too. Okay, talk to you soon. Bye.
All right, Mel, thanks for sending that in. Mel is a little biased because he is a huge X-Force Deadpool fan, and he pretty much gave us the history of of X-Force and Deadpool, so that is fantastic. And then he was asking in his feedback, which you mentioned earlier, did he use the time traveling to save the rest of the team? And he apparently did not. Can we confirm that? Is that confirmed?
I'm telling you, he didn't do it. You know what? Let's see what the Wikipedia says. If there's maybe something in here about, you know, them saving him at the end of the plot.
The book of information.
He used it to save lives of Vanessa and X-Force member Peter.
Okay.
So that's all it says.
So if it's on Wikipedia, then it's on the internet, then it must be true.
Kills X-Men Origins Wolverine's version of Deadpool. And that was great, by the way, where he just sat there and just kept on shooting him.
Over and over and over again. Oh my gosh, I'm sorry. That's funny.
Killed the actor Ryan Reynolds when he was considered starring in the Green Lantern film.
That was the best part, I think. As far as Mel's comments about why Cable didn't disappear, you know, Cable being a time traveler, that's how he's able to be fixed in any time period, pretty much, without being affected like somebody else might be affected. I think that is correct. I think Cable could stick in any time period he chose if need be, because that's the nature of his abilities and activities is traveling through time.
Now that I'm thinking about it, they miss the professor. Like, he has an onboard computer system like that he can talk to, which kind of tells him stuff. It also helps keep track of his time travel.
Oh, Gideon from Legends of Tomorrow.
A smaller version, not the size of a ship.
And Mel gave this 10 out of 10.
Ooh.
I think that's just because he's a huge fan. So he is biased.
But Mel, what I would ask is, if you had to compare this against the last Deadpool, I mean, there's no way that they're both 10 of 10s. There are a clear difference between the two.
Yes.
So I would like to know what your scoring for the last one is. Now, if you come back and say the last one was like a 12 or 13, then you're right. Then this one is a 10.
Okay. I like it. Yeah, Mel, drop us a note and let us know. What did you get the first one? I'm assuming another 10. All right. Thank you so much for sending that in. We always love hearing from Mel. And hey, if you want to send an email or a voice message in, you can use the podcast contact form on tpenetwork.com/feedback. You can record your voice or send us a text from your mobile device, laptop, tablet, or PC.
I heard smoke signals work too.
Yeah, we're working on it. John, anything before we wrap her on up?
Thanks for putting this together. We're going to have to make sure we get one for, I guess, the solo movie.
Yes, I still have to see it. I hate to say that. I have not seen it yet, but I missed the boat with Alex and another friend of ours. They went and I had something else going on that day.
Hey, but wait a second. But what happened to Alex to go see Deadpool? He was supposed to see that with you too, right?
Yes, and something came up last minute for him for that. So he missed out on that. And then I miss out on Solo. So six on one side, half a dozen on the other.
Yep.
I don't know. When do you want to do Solo? When do you want to talk about that? In a week or two?
After I see it as well.
Okay, neither of us. I don't feel so bad then. Okay, cool.
I have an excuse of not being able to find a sitter, but my plan is to see it this weekend. I've already asked the missus if I have the ability to go and see it, and she's already greenlit it. So I'll be seeing it sometime either Saturday or Sunday.
Okay. I'll try to see it Sunday then if the family doesn't have other plans for me. All right. For John, I'm Hank. Until the next time, we're signing off.
See everybody.